This podcast is intended for investment professionals only. Hello, it's the start of another working week, so it must be Market Talk. This week, we'll be looking at what that ECB meeting meant for European bonds and equities and asking whether slowing growth and rising US inflation heralds the start of stagflation. Serving up the questions is me, Frances Watson, and volleying them back with alarming precision, Ben Bennett, Head of Investment Strategy and Research, and who joins us from Hong Kong. Ben, hello to you.
Hi, Frances, how are you?
Yeah, not bad, not bad. Good weekend on the back of that wonderful tennis match. But anyway, let's move swiftly on to markets. Now, you've been saying for quite a while, Ben, that we were in for a calm summer, followed by a little bit of volatility in markets come the autumn. And you were not wrong. And we saw that as a trigger point, perhaps, from the ECB statement about tapering. But I'm still a bit confused as to whether they've really tapered or not.
Yeah, I think central bankers are a bit concerned about the word tapering because everyone knows taper tantrum from a few years ago. That the signal that they would be reducing quantitative easing a few years ago led to a bit of volatility in markets. So Christine Lagarde was very precise saying this is not a taper. But in reality, they're going to be reducing the number of bonds, the volume of bonds that they will be buying. We don't know exactly by how much. And they were, again, at pains to point out that the reduction is probably going to be less than the increase in the amount that they announced a couple of quarters ago. So again, they are reducing the amount that they're buying, but they're just trying not to upset investors in doing so. But ultimately, if this is the trajectory that they're on, and we know the Federal Reserve at some point is going to taper too, you know, that is going to be reducing liquidity. And that's exactly what you were saying before. That's the reason why you've got to be a little bit more nervous going ahead about markets. They're not going to be as supported as they were before, I think.
Let's turn from Europe to the US, where we've had a snapshot of the Fed's beige books. Now, I haven't heard the term beige book since I was a broker in the early 80s. But just for people who haven't heard it either, these are the anecdotal surveys. So current surveys, as opposed to forward-looking surveys, of what's really happening on the ground. So what is really happening on the ground in the States at the moment?
That's right. I mean, it's anecdotal evidence of what is going on in the economy. And it sounded like, well, I guess what we've been seeing some of the data that really we're starting to see price pressure come through. Wage growth, you know, people are asking for more money to get back into work. That makes an awful lot of sense. And we're also starting to see some of the price increases because of the backlogs, the supply issues that we've seen. Again, a lot of headlines about chip shortages impacting things like the auto manufacturing sector. And people having to pay more for secondhand cars because they can't get a new car. But it's happening in all sorts of places. And we've seen it here in China with the Delta variant and the impact that that had on the economy, closing down various infrastructure ports and all that sort of stuff for periods of time. And this is just feeding through to the economy. And we're starting to see it, the end result, like I said, in these anecdotal evidence in the US. So that combination of slowing growth, remember we spoke last week about our growth forecast downgrades for both the US and China, that growth forecast downgrade and price increases. Stagflation is a bit extreme. That's when it really is low growth and high inflation. But that's the tilt that we've just had over the last few weeks. And that's not great for risky assets going forward, but it's only mild so far is what I'd like to say.
So just let's turn to current thoughts and on inflation. Again, we've got US CPI figures, I think, coming out this week, Ben. And again, to your point, that broadening out, we started with food prices going up as we started with supply bottlenecks. And now it's spilling over to the labour market. And how important is the bottlenecks in the labour market to the overall US and world inflation figure?
Central banks have told us, and the Federal Reserve being the most important central bank, that it really is, they are focused on wage inflation at this point. And it's almost, I mean, we do have CPI this week, but it's almost that it probably won't change the Federal Reserve's mind because that's about goods prices, right? It's about service sector prices, et cetera. So that could continue to be high, could continue to be strong. But I think central bankers would probably say it's temporary. you know, we're going to see some sort of correction when the supply bottlenecks are over, so don't worry about it. So it's almost like it can't be strong enough to change their mind. What they're focused on is wage inflation, and that's something that they're keeping an eye on from, you know, the payroll report, the employment cost index. There's various things that they look at for on that basis. But the CPI this week, maybe not as important as it would otherwise be.
Up on Capitol Hill, we've got the annual shenanigans that seems to be with the debt ceiling. Are there any implications, ramifications for markets there, do you think?
Yeah, it's very interesting. So all sorts of things are happening in the next couple of weeks. So we need to sort out the budget by the end of their fiscal year, which is the end of September. So there needs to be something called a continuing resolution by the 1st of October. Otherwise, technically, the government shuts down. And it's happened before. You know, it's when things like national parks start to close down and that type of stuff. So it can happen again. And it is a bit destabilized. We know it'll be temporary. And then you mentioned the debt ceiling. Yeah, they probably need to increase the debt ceiling by something like the middle of October. Otherwise, technically, they can't issue debt. And again, technically, they could default on treasuries. But that won't happen, I'm pretty sure. But you could see the sort of political games that could be played to try and get these things done at the same time that President Biden and the Democrats want to push through their fiscal infrastructure policy. So that all these three things are all wrapped together. There's going to be all sorts of fun and games, all sorts of headlines over the next, probably the next 3 to 4 weeks. So just be aware of that. It's usually not good for markets, this uncertainty, but I'd be fairly confident that it'll get sorted out in the end.
Let's go to China and US growth downgrades. Again, we talked about this last week, Ben, but it's just whether or not the market has fully digested the fact that the numbers one and two economies are inevitably slowing down. What's the impact there on financial markets, do you reckon?
We've seen the S&P 500 in the US actually had a pretty bad last few days. So it's been falling for a few days in a row, which is unusual as things have been going up pretty consistently for it seems like months, hasn't it? I think some of that is not just us, but you know, lots of other investors knowing that growth is slowing, the Delta variant is impacting. I do also think there is an increased focus on central banks, the ECBs, sort of quasi-tapering, let's say, and also looking forward to the Federal Reserve. And also, I mentioned just now the Biden infrastructure bills, and some of this is going to be paid for by tax increases. And in the UK as well, didn't we? This last few days, we've heard announcements of increasing tax. So it feels as though governments have got one eye on raising the money in order to hand it out this time, as opposed to during the crisis where it was just a free-for-all. And I think if you're investing in equities and you think about corporate taxes going up, that's money that's being taken away from an equity investor. It may or may not be good for the social benefit, but ultimately that does lead to potentially lower prices. And all of that combined, I think, is the reason why we've seen slightly soggier markets over the last few days.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, we've had so much relief, haven't we? And now it really is a question of who's going to pick up the bill big time. Let's go then from equities to commodities, where aluminium's had a bit of a price spike. What's going on?
Yeah, I mean, commodities is an interesting place. I mean, we've had an awful lot of volatility across oil, iron ore, steel, various countries impacting supply demand. Aluminium, there's an awful lot of bauxite produced by Guinea, and with the coup that happened in Guinea over the last week or so, the concern, of course, is that you're going to have less supply of bauxite, which means that the price of aluminium goes up. Which, yeah, it makes sense from that perspective. But in the context of what I was just talking about before, in terms of worrying about higher inflation and lower growth, you know, it's never a good thing to see the input of some of these commodities go up, as that obviously will then lead to higher inflation potentially. So it's a tiny, tiny input, but yeah, it's not helpful.
Now, as regular listeners to this podcast will know, we always end these with a number. So Ben, what's your number for this week and why have you chosen it?
I thought in the context of a little bit of a decline in equity markets over the last few days, I'd have a look and see how well they've done since the trough of the crisis. And my number is 99, because the S&P 500 in the US is up 99% as of last Friday's close compared to the actual trough back in March. 99%, it's just about doubled over that period of time. It just shows you the amazing result of easy monetary policy and handouts from governments really stopping what could have been an absolute market crisis and leading to tremendous returns actually from that trough. And, you know, looking ahead, was that if they start to withdraw their fiscal policy, if they start to tighten monetary policy, just how much of an impact is it going to have on those sorts of markets at those sorts of levels? That's the question.
Yeah, it's extraordinary, isn't it? And we should say, is that's in dollar terms, in local currency terms, I suppose, yeah. Ben, is it? Yeah, yeah, yeah. Yeah, no, it has been an extraordinary period, and one which now, as you say, authorities are going to start saying, hang on a minute, who's going to pay for all this? And well, the answer is firms and you and I are. But anyway, Ben, great to talk to you as ever. We will see how that volatility pans out in September and the rest of autumn. But for now, Ben, thanks for talking to us. If you've enjoyed listening to this podcast, you can leave us a rating or maybe even a review if you're feeling particularly generous on the Apple Podcast app. It really helps new listeners to find us, and we're always on the lookout for new ways we can improve. As a reminder, this podcast is intended for investment professionals only and shouldn't be shared with a non-professional audience. This podcast should not be taken as an invitation to deal in legal and general investments. Any views expressed during this recording belong to the individuals and are based on market conditions at the time of the recording, and do not reflect the views of Legal and General Investment Management. Forward-looking statements are, by their nature, subject to significant risks and uncertainties and are based on internal forecasts and assumptions and should not be relied upon. Where individual stocks are mentioned, these do not constitute a recommendation to buy or sell any security and are for illustrative purposes only. Legal and General Investment Management is authorised and regulated by the Financial Conduct Authority. For full terms and conditions, please visit our website. To find more great content, check us out on Twitter, LinkedIn, and our website, LGIM.com.